Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church. It's always a delight to see people gathered here in the sanctuary. Welcome to those who are joining us more remotely. We're already at the third Sunday of Advent. Amazing how time goes by. We do have a few announcements. Our food pantry volunteers tomorrow are Buck Gilbert and Ernie and Linda Champlin. On Tuesday, we will have our last Bible study of the year. As we continue to read The Purpose-Driven Life, and we welcome anyone who would like to join us to come. We are reading as we go, so there's no preparation. On Wednesday, we will have our last youth night and confirmation of the year as we continue to practice our youth program, which will delight us next Sunday. So make sure that you are here for the youth program that is written by one of our own youth. Yeah, Jory Pearson decided that he wanted to take on the challenge of writing this year since I wrote last year's program. So come and see the work that the kids are doing. Do we have any other announcements we need to take care of? If not, I invite Kellen and Tessa to come forward to light three candles on our Advent wreath. And today is the Sunday of joy, and so we light two purple candles and the pink candle. We praise you, O God, for this victory wreath that marks our days of preparation for Christ's advent. As we light the candles on this wreath, strengthen our hearts as we await the Lord's coming in glory. Enlighten us with your grace that we may serve our neighbors in need. Grant this through Christ our Lord, whose coming is certain and whose day draws near. Amen. And let us sing verse 3 of O Come, Emmanuel. Trinity, one God, alive in the world, reviving creation, arriving soon. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of mercy, we confess that we have sinned. We trust earthly powers and human authority alone. We grow fearful. We cling to false comforts. God of might, we confess that we have sinned. We have turned away from our neighbors. We have trusted false promises. God, in our midst, we confess that we have sinned. We plead, come to us. Bring your mercy to bear in us. A righteous branch springs forth. It is Christ the Lord, our Savior, in whom we have forgiveness, life, and mercy. By the power of the Holy Spirit, receive the grace and forgiveness of God through Christ Jesus. His day draws near. Amen. Amen. Let us join together in our gathering song, number 259, Fling Wide the Door.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Let us join together in the prayer of the day. Stir up the wills of your faithful people, Lord God, and open our ears to the preaching of John, that rejoicing in your salvation, we may bring forth the fruits of repentance. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
God speaks to us in scripture reading, preaching, and song. The first reading is from Zephaniah chapter 3. The prophet Zephaniah's message is mostly one of judgment for sin. This reading, however, which comes from the conclusion of the book, prophesies joy for Judah and Jerusalem. Judgment has led to repentance, and God's salvation is at hand. A reading from Zephaniah. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has turned away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. As on a day of festival, I will remove disaster from you so that you will not bear reproach for it. I will deal with all your oppressors at that time, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at that time when I gather you, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth, when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Isaiah 12, 2 through 6 responsibly. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my might, and has become my salvation. And you will say in that day, Give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Make known the deeds of the Lord among the nations. Proclaim that this name is exalted.
Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth.
Shout aloud and sing for joy, O royal Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. The second reading is from Philippians chapter 4. Despite being in prison, Paul is remarkably upbeat as he writes this letter. Here he urges his friends in Philippi to trust God with all their worries and concerns, with the hope that they will experience God's joy and peace. A reading from Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the tree. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. And the crowds asked him, what then should we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people, the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. You may be seated. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I remember why we usually have the children's program on this day. It is so that I only have to preach once. Rejoice, you brood of vipers! Because if you look at all the readings together, that is pretty much what it says. Rejoice, you brood of vipers. And does that make sense to you? Does it? I'm not seeing any heads nodding yes that this makes sense. But if you look deeper into it, it does make sense. Let's go to our first reading from Zephaniah. How many of you have ever read Zephaniah? That's what I thought. Zephaniah is one of those books that it's really hard to find because it's one of the minor prophets. And to tell you that Zephaniah is near Haggai probably doesn't help much. It is only three chapters long, and we don't tend to read it. And it's because it begins with wonderful words such as these. The word of the Lord has come to Zion. And here is the word of the Lord. I will utterly sweep away everything from the face of the earth, says the Lord. And it gets worse. I will sweep away humans and animals. I will sweep away the birds of the air and the fish of the sea. I will make the wicked stumble. I will cut off humanity from the face of the earth, says the Lord. Rejoice, right? So how do we get from I'm going to wipe away everything to that very last section of the very last chapter of Zephaniah, where we hear these words that sound so much gentler, so much more like the God that we want to worship? Sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter Jerusalem. Because he says what you need to do. Exactly. That's why you need to rejoice. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. The Lord who said he was going to wipe you off the face of the earth because you heard the word of the Lord and turned back to him. It is time to rejoice because he has taken away the judgment against you. He has turned away your enemies. He is in your midst. You shall fear disaster no more. So we went from all of those words of judgment to rejoice. Rejoice, Because despite how you have turned away from God in the past, despite everything that you have done, despite all the reasons why God should wipe everything off and start over again, God has taken away your judgment. God has saved you from destruction. It says, on that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst. Once again, we're told that God is with us, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Can you imagine God singing over you? Rejoicing over you, exulting over you because you have turned back to him. We talk all the time about praising God, but the idea that God sings over God's people and exults over God's people. Think about that. God singing over you, not just us singing praises to God, but God singing over us. And the idea that God is not far away, but God is in our midst. God is with us. And that is what we have in Jesus. God with us. You'll notice that today we, like last week, did not have a psalm from the book of Psalms. Instead, we have a passage from Isaiah. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. Once again, I will not be afraid. Why? For the Lord God is my strength and my might and has become my salvation. God is our salvation. Shout aloud and sing for joy, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Again, not a far-off God, but a God who is with us, a God who is in our midst. And that passage from Philippians, Paul in prison singing, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Makes you want to burst into song, doesn't it? You know that song. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He rejoices despite being imprisoned. He rejoices because he knows why he's there and he knows who is caring for him. We touched on something similar during our Bible study this last week. And there was mention of Corrie Ten Boom. Have you read anything by Corrie Ten Boom? Okay, you probably read The Hiding Place if you've read anything. Tramp for the Lord. Mm-hmm. So she and her sister were in a Nazi concentration camp. And her sister Betsy would remind her that they needed to pray in all circumstances. And that sounds good for most of your life, except when you were in a concentration camp. And in the barracks that they were in, they had a severe outbreak of fleas. And Betsy said, we need to thank God for the fleas. And Corrie said, I think that's going a little too far. How in the world can we thank God for fleas? How do you thank God for fleas? Well, it turned out Betsy was right. Because the barracks were so infested with fleas, the Nazi guards did not want to go in there. And so Betsy and Corrie were able to conduct Bible studies without being disturbed. So they were able to thank God for that circumstance, to thank God even for fleas. And Paul, thanking God, despite being in prison, saying, rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice, for the Lord is near. He says, do not worry about anything. There's so much about which we can worry, but he says, do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's this wonderful promise, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. And after looking at that, the gospel lesson makes a little bit more sense. John looks at the crowds that come to be baptized by him, and he says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance." And they hear his words, and what do? Their hearts are changed, and they ask, "What should we do?" And he tells them, whoever has two coats should share with someone who has none. Whoever has food should share with those who have none. And the tax collectors come to him and ask, "And what should we do?" And this promise is for tax collectors, outcasts of society. He says, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed." And soldiers, even for soldiers who are probably not Romans, they could very easily be Jews. Whoever they are, they're collecting money from the Romans, the oppressors. So the promise is even for them. They ask, "What shall we do?" And they're told, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusations, and be satisfied with your wages." And so the people, just like we heard in Zephaniah, judgment is removed from them. And that's why it makes sense at the end of the gospel. You hear all of these things. You hear that the Lord is coming. That his winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary and to burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. And so with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. When you look at that at first, it doesn't sound like good news, but it is. That all those things that need to be destroyed will be destroyed. All the chaff will be burned away. And for those who listen to John's words and turn their life around, it meant that there were things in their life, chaff in their lives, that need to be burned away so that they could be gathered in. And that's our challenge in listening to these readings, is what chaff in our lives needs to be burned away. What do we need to do to turn our lives more fully to the path that God has chosen for us? What is it that we need to have burned away so that we can be gathered in with those who are rejoicing? How can we turn back to God so that we can be like Paul, even in prison, in all of our circumstances, rejoicing in God always? So that is the word of the Lord for us today. Rejoice, you brood of vipers. Rejoice, you who have not followed the path of God, because now it's your chance to turn back, to burn away those things in your life that need to be burned away, so that your hearts and your minds and your soul can be turned fully to God. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. For your judgment has been removed, and your Lord is in your midst. Amen. And let us now join together in our hymn of the day, "Come Now, O Prince of Peace," number 244. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we prepare for Emmanuel, God with us, God in our midst, let us pray for all people and places that long for God's presence.
God who reforms, fill your church with courage to do your will. Empower your people in taking risks that bear fruit. Raise up leaders who will proclaim the good news. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer. God who creates, you hold in balance diverse ecosystems. Encourage efforts to protect wildlands from devastation. Care for animals and people in the path of destructive fires, storms, and other disasters. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God who leads this world cries out for true justice. Guide legislators, judges, and lawyers in actions steeped in love and restoration. Increase the desire to advocate for all who are confronted with discrimination and oppression based on race, gender, sexuality, class, or age. Lord, in your mercy.
God who embraces, help us notice the places where your people are hurting or sick. We pray especially for those on our prayer chain and those we name aloud or in the quietness of our hearts. Show your compassion and remember your people in love. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
God who abides, you dwell among the people of this congregation. Deepen our relationships with one another and make us aware of the diverse talents and gifts present here. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer. God who consoles, we thank you for the time we've had with loved ones who have died. Comfort us with the promise of everlasting life in you. We pray especially for those families who suffered recent losses. Lord, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Savior of the nations, come and receive these prayers and the pleas of our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Let us share with one another a sign of that peace. We thank you for supporting the ministries of St. Luke's Lutheran Church with your tithes and your offerings. Let us pray.
Creator God, you make known the whole world, even the farthest stars, and you draw near to feed us. We praise you for these gifts of bread and wine. Strengthen us with this food, that we may live in expectation for the advent of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy. We should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of a Redeemer, through whom we will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join your unending hymn. blessing. God of endings and beginnings, God in the darkness and the light, God our hope for the journey, bless and keep you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Let us join together in our sending song, Joy to the World, number 267.
I love it.